Hello, I'm Ronnie Floyd, Senior Pastor of Cross Church. Thank you for tuning in today. Cross Church is a faith family that is passionate about sharing the love of Christ with the people of Northwest Arkansas, Southwest Missouri, America, and even the world. I thank you again for tuning in today. And please know that the entire Cross Church congregation and I invite you to join us in person at one of our 5 regional campuses. Come and be a part of our friendly, compassionate faith family. Go to crosschurch.com to learn more information about our fellowship of believers. Today we're bringing to conclusion our series out of Luke chapter 21 called Signs of the Times Are Everywhere. And the message today is your redemption is near. Be alert at all times. What a powerful scripture passage we're going to take apart in a moment from the 21st chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Now, I want to pause a moment before I read and before we go forward. And I want to tell everyone that next Sunday is Palm Sunday in our church. We will have communion. I will preach God's word. We will begin a brand new series next week. Listen carefully. Out of Luke chapter 22 through Luke chapter 24, we're going to be preaching and teaching this segment of God's word beginning next Sunday morning, followed by every noonday of our Passion Lunches. And I hope that you will join us at our Passion Week Lunches. Make your reservations now. It'll be a tremendous time in God's word. And every day that week, leading up to Easter, we will be speaking out of Luke 22, 23, 24, walking straight through it, just as it's written in God's word. And then on Easter weekend, we're going to do that powerful passage regarding Easter weekend. And then 2 weeks following that, we will conclude Luke 24. So Passion Week and beyond. Passion and beyond. That's what our theme is going to be beginning next week. Therefore, I have some homework for you. You say, I didn't come to church to have homework. Okay. Let me tell you some homework I have for you this week. I want you to read over the next several days Luke 22 through Luke 24. All right. Everybody got that? Luke chapter 22 through Luke chapter 24. Some of you might start reading it during the message. Don't start reading it in the message. You read it tomorrow. Got it? So today I want you to listen carefully to the reading of God's word. Now, while I will be very faithful to the text today, I'm going to talk to you today also from my heart over some of the matters that we have been a part of over the last 12 days of our lives. I cannot think of a more appropriate passage to deal with, especially after being in countries of the Middle East over the last 12 days. Can you believe God has us right here and I get to speak about it? I mean, it's an unbelievable passage out of God's word. But before I get in there, I want to go back and remind you what we talked about a couple of weeks ago when I was in the pulpit. Last week, Dr. Crawford preached out of Luke 21, verse 1 through 4, I believe, or 3. And then we picked up and did the other portion before that passage due to a major snowfall that we had, which altered everything on the first Sunday of March. Now, in relationship to this, what did I teach you a couple of weeks ago? Let me review. For those of you that were not here, I want to urge you to go online and watch the message or listen to the message. Here's what we talked about. Jesus talked in Luke chapter 21 about what life is going to be like from the first time he came until when he comes again. Did you hear me? From the first coming, what it's going to be like until the second coming of the Lord. And he begins to illustrate in Luke 21 what life is going to be like. Do you remember carefully what he talked about? He said false leaders will emerge. Those false leaders are emerging now in the realm of religion and in the realm outside of religion. Also, global events will accelerate. Without any question at all, these global events are accelerating now in an unprecedented manner in the history of the world. Number three, we know this is happening right now. Persecution and martyrdom is occurring. That's right. We're seeing it now more than ever before. In fact, listen, what is happening in the realm of persecution and martyrdom across the world is the worst it's been in over 1,000 years of history in the church. We need to understand God is speaking. And then also, hate and betrayal will exist. That's why families are falling apart. That's why there's tension in businesses. That's why relationships are broken and messed up in fellowship, because hate and betrayal is the order of the day. But I declare to you today, that is not the way of walking with Jesus Christ. That is not our lifestyle. Those things we used to walk in, but since we've been washed in the blood, we choose a different life and a higher life. And we need to remember that today. Now listen carefully. The Bible tells us that we need to filter everything through God's Word. It doesn't matter whether it's pop culture or whether it's someone's teaching out of God's Word. We need to filter it all from Genesis through the Revelation. And we need to remember that every crisis that exists in our world today is a moment of hope, because it points to us the hope of our soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to this earth. And that it doesn't matter what happens in this world, when things seem to be so upside down and when things appear to be so dangerous, our security today is in one thing alone. It's not in others, but our security is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And our stance and our faith and our trust in Christ, the solid rock I stand. It's in Him and Him alone in which we trust. And now from verse 20 through verse number 38, Jesus continues the conversation about what life will be like from His first coming, are you with me now, until He comes the second time. And Jesus is telling us what it's going to be like. We've already mentioned a few of those things, but what we're going to do today is we're going to read some passage, then we're going to unpack it, and then we're going to read some more, and we're going to unpack it. So I need you to listen carefully, and we're going to learn together from God's holy word today. Let's begin reading Luke chapter 21, verse 20 through 24. Jesus said, "When you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then recognize that its desolation has come near. Then those in Judea must flee to the mountains. Those inside the city must leave it, and those who are in the country must not enter it, because these are days of vengeance to fulfill the things that are written." Verse 23, "Woe to pregnant women and nursing mothers in those days, for there will be great distress in the land and wrath against this peoples. They will fall by the edge of the sword and be led captive into the nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled." Once again, Jesus is picking up on the conversation of what it's going to be like. Earlier, He had talked about the destruction of the temple. We talked about that recently when we spoke to you. If you go to Jerusalem today, you will still see places in Jerusalem where the devastation and the desolation was so great from 66 to 70 AD, they're still cleaning up from it. Because there's come a time when God began to call the Jewish people back to His land of promise. And now there is a rebuilding of the land and a renurturing of the land as never before. The historian by the name of Josephus, you can read about him in history. He talked about the devastation of Jerusalem was so massive that from 66 to 70 AD, 1.1 million Jews were murdered and killed in war. And then 97,000 of them were taken away into captivity. The siege was so horrible, they would take children and they would kill the children and eat the children. I'm telling you today, there will be judgment on any culture that abuses children at any level, whether they be inside the womb or outside the womb. Children are gifts and precious unto the Lord, and they're not in the hands of human beings, but they're in the hands of a holy God. Well, Jesus was warning us of this. Listen carefully. You don't want to be around Jerusalem when the desolation comes. That's what he was telling us. Everything Jesus said would occur, listen, it occurred. Just 3 decades passed when Christ was crucified outside the city gate on a major thoroughfare, dying for the sins of the world. So there was an initial prophetic word given here about the immediate being 3 decades following his death. But there's also a forecast of a greater judgment that is on its way and a greater judgment to come. In fact, the desolation was so great, the Bible says, you flee from Judea. Get out of there. You go to the mountains, or you're going to wish to God you had been in the mountains because the desolation will be so great. What does that mean? Well, there's a key word here we need to understand, and it is that word, desolation. We don't talk about that word a lot in our language, but the word here Jesus referred to and used, it indicates a state of being uninhabitable. In other words, Jesus said the judgment of God upon Jerusalem is going to be so great that it will become an uninhabitable land. And that's exactly what happened. You see, Jesus uses this story to point to a day of a devastation that will be even greater than that. Because there is coming a day, listen to me, when the wrath of God will be unleashed upon all sin. And the wrath of God will be unleashed upon Satan. And the wrath of God will be unleashed on every man, every woman, every teenager who has never said yes to faith and trust in Christ alone, in faith alone for our salvation. God says it's going to happen. I'm telling you, we appeal to you today in the name of Jesus. This is why you need to get yourself together and you need to come to Christ now. You don't need to be walking around banking on, hoping this is going right, banking on this going right. Let me tell you today, Christ is coming again. The Lord is coming again, Jesus said. And Jesus said, come to Jesus today. Come to Jesus today. Get your life right with God today and come to know the Savior. If you're here today, you're watching on television, you're listening or watching on the web today, I say to you today, the Lord is one day going to come and he's going to unleash his wrath toward all sin in this world. And he's going to unleash his wrath toward his greatest enemy, which is Satan. And he's going to unleash his wrath among all of those who have never said yes to Jesus Christ. Those who have denied him, those who have not chosen to let him be Lord in their life. And when he does, I'm telling you today, you're going to wish that you wouldn't be where you are because the wrath of God will come upon the sin of the world. You need to come to Jesus Christ today. You see, we need to understand the gospel. The gospel is one thing. Christ came to die for the sins of the world. We were lost and we are hopeless and we are doomed without grace in our life. Christ came, died on the cross. He was sinless, he was perfect, and he became the once and for all sacrifice for our sins. And because he's the once and all sacrifice, when we receive him into our life and we declare him as Lord of our life, then listen, sins are forgiven and we're given heaven and everything changes in our lives. And those of us that reject it, we're under the wrath of God. Those of us who receive it, we're under the grace of God, kept until that day the Lord comes again. Bible says, secondly, out of another passage in Luke 21, verse 25 through 28, let's read together the word of the Lord. The Bible says, then there will be signs, plural, in the sun and the moon and stars. And there will be anguish on the earth among nations bewildered. by the roaring sea and waves. People will faint from fear and expectation of the things that are coming on the world because the celestial powers will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But when these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads because your redemption is near. You see, this creation and this world we're living in today, it is screaming and shouting to us, the Lord is coming. Now, I realize that there are people who will debate the validity of global warming. I'm not going to get in that debate. I have nothing to do with that debate. But I can tell you one thing. A lot of them could save themselves a lot of discussion if they'd read God's Word and understand we live in a Genesis 3 world, and this world is filled with sin, and judgment is coming on the world. And we better remember that when we look at all of the celestial powers and the differences and the things in weather and the things in earthquakes and the things that are happening in this world, the reason that's happening is because we live in a broken world without God. And it doesn't matter, even ultimately, the Lord is going to bring judgment upon this earth and judgment upon this world. The Bible says that nations will question with fear what is happening in the natural world. Is that not happening today? I wonder what's happening. How many talk shows give themselves to? Well, could this be this or this be this? Read God's Word. It's broken, and Jesus came to fix it all. Listen, we need to hear what God says. People will faint with fear, the Scripture says, due to all that they're seeing in the world. That's how bad it's going to get. And when this occurs, listen to what he said. When you see this occurring, then you will know that the Lord is about to come on the clouds with great power and glory. But when these things begin to take place, meaning when they begin to first take place and they successively occur, Jesus told us how to live. Stand and rise up. In other words, don't be a wimp. You stand up and you rise up in your faith like never before. And he also said, you lift up and you raise up your head. Why? Because you need to live not for this world, but you need to lift up and raise up your head because your redemption draws near. Jesus is the Redeemer. And you will see that one thing is connected to another thing. And when you look at the languages here, or the language here in the original language, it is always linking one to the other, to the other, to the other. Why is that? Because of some key words that are given here in the passage. For example, there's the first word, expectation. Expectation. This word expectation is interesting because Jesus used it, and it means what? Something is about to happen, whether it's good or bad. You know what? You'd have to be totally somewhat dysfunctional not to have some element of expectation in your life right now. And while some of us may not understand whether it's going to be good or bad, that's what Jesus said. Jesus said, I think it's going to be both good and bad. The bad is only to those who have never come to know Christ. But the good is your redemption draws near and you'll be once and for all rescued by the powerful grace of a coming Lord Jesus Christ. And there is an expectation, I'm telling you. I feel it. I sense it. I know God is up to something. Don't you? I don't know. I don't see anything really particularly different. Really? I mean, are you that clueless of what's happening in the world? Do you ever read anything called a newspaper, even that the world makes? Better than that, do you ever take God's Word and filter all that stuff through this? There is an expectation that is growing in the hearts of every follower of Jesus Christ, and even those who are not followers, they just don't know what to expect. They just know there's an unsettlement and an uncertainty like they've never lived in before in their lives. But we have the hope of the gospel. And that's that second word, the word redemption. Redemption. Now, what does redemption mean? It's like someone who is held captive, but then freedom is given to bring captive or made the captive free. Once the ransom was paid, freedom occurred. Here's a person in a certain situation. They are held hostage in massive bondage. And guess what? A ransom payment is put on their lives. Man can't make that payment. Morality cannot make that payment. Religion cannot make that payment. For even religion can hold many in captivity. But listen, who came to make that payment? He is, according to the scripture, our Redeemer. And notice this with me. Jesus is our Redeemer. He paid the price for our sin by becoming sin for us. Therefore, we are now set free, completely free from the coming wrath of God. Jesus is our Redeemer. Oh, listen, here we were held captive in our sin. Here we were in bondage to our sin. I had no hope. I had no ability to save myself. There was nothing I could do. I was lost, bound for an eternity without God, completely hopeless, just like you. But then God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And even though we were dead in our trespasses and sins, but God came in the person of Jesus Christ, and he then paid the ransom for my sin. And no longer do I have to pay for my sin. No longer am I being held hostage and in bondage of my sin. But I have been set free from my sin the moment I receive the Redeemer in my life. Oh, listen today. The Redeemer has come, and you need to let him become the Redeemer for you personally, because what he does is what? He covers your sin, but also he completely frees you from the wrath of God that is coming at the end of the age. And he is coming at the end of the age. And we need to remember that. Oh, listen. I've been, in the last few days, even a few hours, with some of the great missionaries all across the world, in some of the most difficult nations and the hardest places in this world. And while we may watch a media account and become fretful and even concerned for them, and we should be concerned for them because we should pray for them regularly, they do not count it as a despairing moment in history, but they count it as a great moment, a kairos moment, a moment that God is up to something great and powerful, and God has placed him on the mission fields of the world to take the gospel of Jesus Christ in an accelerated manner to the ends of the earth. And God's done the same with you, because we have our own mission field here. You may never be commissioned in relationship to going overseas. God doesn't want everybody to go overseas. We have the ethnicities, many of them are located right here within miles of our church. Amen. And God has called us to reach this region with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God has given us a global region, even though it's smaller than most in this nation. And we must be faithful to take the gospel to every person in this region. And we need to constantly ask each other, just as I ask you today, have you been set free from your sin? Have you received the ransom payment for your sin? What's the ransom payment? What Jesus did on the cross for me, he covered me with his precious blood.
And we don't need to point our finger and condemn other people and say, boy, y'all need to get your act right. You need to get your act right. What does God tell us in the book of Corinthians? Paul tells us, but such were some of you, but you were washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the blood is what covers us from all of our sin, because the Redeemer has paid the ransom for all of our sin. The Bible tells us in chapter 21, verse number 29 through verse 33. Then he told them a parable. Look at this. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they put out leaves, you can see for yourselves and recognize that summer is already near. In the same way, when you see these things happening, recognize, listen to this, the kingdom of God is near. Now, what is the kingdom of God? For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Jesus is the kingdom of God. That means that Jesus is near when we start seeing some activity. Verse 32, I assure you, wow, look at this statement. Jesus said, this generation will certainly not pass away until all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Amazing passage. Let me give you what Jesus was warning of. Let me say it this way where we can all understand it. Look at it with me. Keep your eyes on Israel. That's what he's saying. Keep your eyes on Israel. He said, well, why didn't he just say that? Well, he did say that. Look at what happened this past week. This past week, the whole world watched media accounts of what was going on in Israel. There are leaders elected throughout the world. Every day of this world are placed into dictatorships around this world. But I'm telling you today, there's one nation ultimately, and perhaps the United States also, but there's one even beyond the United States that the world is captivated by, and the strongest nations of the world watch what happens, as well as those who are trying to have one goal, and that is destroy this small little nation in the Middle East called Israel. And the whole world was captivated with the election of its leader. In 1948, Israel became a nation, recognized as a nation. Israel is now reblooming since 1948. Since 1948, God has been and has been restoring the land, and he's been calling back thousands upon thousands, even millions now, of the Jewish people back to the land. Now listen carefully. Nations of the world are, and at times, typified through various matters. Let me give you an illustration. When we think about America, what is the image of America? It's an eagle. An eagle. The eagle. Russia is the bear. England is the lion. And guess what Israel is? The fig tree. Jesus was saying, you look at the fig tree, and when the fig tree Israel begins to bloom again, this generation that sees that blooming, they will never pass because the Lord is coming. And now it's been some 60 plus years, and it appears that God is even using Israel today to speak to the people of the world. So what are you looking at to see when the Lord will return? I want to challenge you today, you get yourself ready, for the Lord is coming again. You can debate prophetically everything I just said over the last 5 minutes. That's fine. You go ahead and debate it. But I want to tell you today, here's the bottom line Jesus was talking about. It wasn't in the details. It was in the main thing. You get yourself ready, for the Lord is coming again. Because if you're not ready, you're going to wish you had have been ready, because there's the wrath of God is going to be unleashed against the entire world and against all those who do not know Christ personally. And then we look at Luke chapter 21,
verse 34 through 38. Be on your guard, Jesus says. Now think about this. All these things are happening, and all of a sudden Jesus tells us, now, I want to tell you now, this is the way you need to live. He says, be on your guard so that your minds are not dulled. Boy, America needs this. From carousing and drunkenness and worries of life. Or that day will come on you unexpectedly. What is that day? That day means the day the Lord returns. So he's going to come unexpectedly for those of you who are busily all wrapped up in the affairs of this world. In other words, loving this world so much. I want to just make it real clear today. This is not our home. This is not our world. We act like this is our world. We are passionately in love with this world. And I understand that we need to love it as long as God has us here. But I want to make it real clear today. God has something better for us than this world. And it's a world that we won't know until we die or until the Lord comes again. But I want to tell you, there's no one over there that wants to come back here. There are no regrets. And the Bible goes on to say, that day will come on you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come on all who live on the face of the whole earth. But be alert at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape and all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. That's Jesus himself. Fully God, fully man. And then there seemingly is a transition here in it. Moves us toward chapter 22. But during the day he was teaching in the temple complex. In the evening he would go out and spend the night on what is called the Mount of Olives, and then all the people would come early in the morning to hear him in the temple complex. Here's the call of Luke chapter 21. Listen carefully. Verse 34 through 38. Here's the call for all of us today. Be on the alert. Be on the alert. Be on the alert. That's the call. Be on the alert. That day is what day? That's the day the Lord returns. Let me ask you today, do you really believe in the Lord returning? What Jesus said is you better not find yourself caught off guard, but you need to live your life on the alert. Now, what does that word alert mean? Let's take away let's take apart this key word that is alert here in the Bible. It means to keep awake. It means to watch. It means do not sleep. It means to be attentive. It means to live ready, and that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to live with that kind of alert. So the key word, alert, look at it with me. Put it on the screen, please. Keep awake, watch, do not sleep, be attentive, and live ready. That's what God wants us to do. So I ask you today, are you awake? Are you awake? Are you awake to what is happening in this world from a prophetic sense? Are you sleeping? Are you attentive? Are you so dulled by the affairs of the world it does not mean anything to you? And the Bible tells us, what are we supposed to be doing? Well, we need to be praying that we have strength. What's the key word strength mean? Look at it with me now. The word strength, it means to have the capability to obtain an advantage. And our advantage is what? That we're to persevere to the end. It is God who is igniting our strength to persevere to the end in the day that the Lord is going to come. The escape, the judgment of God is going to come. We will be taken away. Some of us believe in what is called the rapture of the church. I can't tell you when the church will be raptured according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 or chapter 4 of the Revelation. I can't dictate the time. I don't know how far we're going to go up to the edge. But I'm telling you already, there's a lot of horrible things happening in this world. So don't think all of a sudden God's going to come and you develop this escapism. That doesn't mean that you're not going to go through trial. You're not going to go through temptation. You're not going to go through the threat of your life. You're not going to go through a time when you don't have to stand tall for Christ and lose something or perhaps lose it all. He didn't say you were going to be escaping any of that. But he said what? You need to pray that God gives you strength, that you will persevere to the end, whatever that strength is. And you not fear, you don't back up, you stand up, and you lift up your head, for your redemption draws near. We will one day stand before the Lord. I'm telling you, we need to understand that whether we're on the mission field of Northwest Arkansas or we're on the mission field of some of the most difficult, hard, risky places in the world, I don't care if it is in Northwest Arkansas or the streets of New York City or San Francisco or Tokyo or whether it's in the hardest fields of this world, in the Arab world, I want to tell you today, the gospel is alive. The gospel is exploding and the kingdom of God is absolutely unstoppable. He will take the gospel to the ends of the age, to every nation in the world. And then Jesus said, then the end will come. Just read the Bible. Just read the Bible. Our response is what? Alert to action. Not just be on the alert. Well, I'm alert. Okay, so I'm going to get me in a small group and I'm going to just teach and preach on prophecy 24/7 until Jesus comes. Because I got to get ready. I got to be on the alert, be on the alert. Oh, no, not alert, alert, alert. Not alert only, but alert to action. Because we really only believe if Jesus is coming again, if we move to action that we've never moved to before. It's an unprecedented action. Business as usual must stop here at Cross Church. Are you listening to me today? Business as usual has got to stop in the lives of our pastors and in the life of our church leaders. This is a critical moment, a season moment. It's got to stop in all of our lives. We must rise up and be God's people like never before, paying the price to do everything we can to take the gospel to every person in this region and every person in the world. That's what Jesus is saying. You get yourself alert and you're alert to action, 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 action. The Christian life is not about what you know. It's about what you do. Man, we need to return to it. I was reminded in preparation this week with one of our pastors. He said to me, we need to remember that Jesus ministered in Jerusalem. He did. And Jesus taught in Jerusalem, and he did. A week ago, today, we stood at the place where Jesus wept over Jerusalem. He wept over Jerusalem. We saw the place where Jesus died in Jerusalem. We saw the tomb where Jesus was buried in Jerusalem. And we saw that Jesus is not in that tomb today. He rose from the dead in Jerusalem. And the Bible says that he ascended from Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said, I will return to the very place where I have ascended. Therefore, Jesus will return at the Mount of Olives there in Jerusalem. And every one of us, we will give an account of our lives at that moment. The Bible tells us specifically, those of us that know the Lord, we will stand before God at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. That's right. You say, well, I thought I was going to escape all this. Well, you're going to escape the judgment over your sin. You're saved. Thank God Jesus isn't going to rehash all your bad things in life, all right? He's already covered that at the cross. Listen, I was reading this week. What a great reminder. Even the Old Testament prophets believed that Jesus in the book of Micah would take all of your sin and cast them to the bottom of the ocean. And the blood of Jesus cleanses and washes away all of our sin. That's done, thank God. But listen, Jesus said, I'm going to take all of you and I'm going to put my scrutiny upon you. And I'm going to judge you on the basis of what you do for me and the motives in which you do it.
And based off what you do for me and the motives in which you do it, I will give you rewards in heaven. You know what? There's so many of us here today, we're more worried about the rewards on this earth that will soon pass away than we've ever even thought about what we have rewards in heaven. We're trying to build up bank accounts and stock accounts and home accounts, and we're trying to build up 401s. We're trying to build up everything we got, trying to live a secure life, and we're so committed to this world, it's absolutely alarming. But the Bible says we need to unload it all for the sake of the kingdom and realize that it's about what we do for God and the spirit in which we do it. And if our motives are pure, God will reward us. And if our motives are not, they'll never make it through the fire, no matter what you do for God. That's the scrutiny we're all going to be under. And there's another judgment. Those who have never trusted Christ. You're here today. You've never given your life to Christ. There's never been a time and a place where you have knowingly and willingly pledged your allegiance to Jesus Christ, received him into your life to forgive you of your sin. Let me tell you about the judgment you're going to be at. The Bible talks about it over in the Revelation. It says that that judgment will be the great white throne judgment. And at the great white throne judgment, you will be sentenced to an eternity without God. And the Bible says you will perish in a lake of fire. You say, oh, man, I can't believe you guys, man. Y'all believe all that. Y'all, I mean, well, you evangelicals, y'all are nothing but a bunch of fundamentalists. You're so shallow intellectually and mentally. You don't believe any of that? All I'm going to tell you is this. You believe what you want to believe. What Jesus says he always does, he's already proven it once, he'll prove it again. And you can sit here with your skepticism and your criticism and your extreme cynicism, but I'm telling you, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord, and there's no way to the Father except through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And I want to tell you today, as soon as we receive in a moment and we bow for prayer, I want to challenge you, it doesn't matter what your capacity is, what your ability is or inability today, I want to ask you to leave where you're seated, come to the nearest aisle and give your life and your heart to Jesus Christ. Some of you are watching on television, you need to bow your head right now where you are, and you need to repent of your sin, turn from your sin, and by faith alone in Christ alone, give your life to Christ. Some of you are watching on the web today, you need to do the very same. But I want to challenge you today to come. And there are some of you, you've never followed the Lord in baptism. You've never been baptized after you were saved. Why not? What are you ashamed of? What are you holding back for? What if the Lord comes to you? You can't even obey him about baptism. I mean, give me a break, man. If Jesus has saved you, tell the world. And that's what baptism is about. You need to come to one of our pastors today. You say, hey, I'm ready. I want to be baptized, and I'll do it at this day to that day. Y'all work out of time. Some of you, God is calling you to ministry. What are you waiting on? Man, the need is great. There's a great moment to be surrendered to Jesus and go to the ends of the earth, whether it's here in Northwest Arkansas, American City, or American rural area, or somewhere across the world. I mean, listen, we must understand the field is ripe unto harvest, and we need workers in the field. Some of you need to get right with the Lord today. You know the Lord. But you're not ready. You're not living with any expectation at all. You're kind of floating along in the passivity of churchanity. But we need to have the fire of real Christianity. You know, tomorrow at our Springdale campus, I will conduct a memorial service for a 97-year-old man by the name of Charles Poston, who was in church 2 weeks ago. One of the greatest thoughts and one of the greatest things I've seen recently, Julio went to his bedside on Friday, just hours before he died, and Julio sang to him. And there he was, gasping for air. He was cognizant. He knew it all. He heard everything, and he knew what he was saying, and he even tried to sing Victory in Jesus with Julio. And he kept saying, amen! Amen. Telling you, Charles Poston at 97 years of age had more fire for Jesus than 500 of us put together. he understood the coming of the Lord. God, show us what it means to have that fire in our lives.